Welcome, everyone, to the Comedy Sports Podcast with your host, Christine Rolo Capriolo, and your special guest from the other side of the pond, it's Braun, living on the edge.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Comedy Sports Podcast. It's Christine Rolo Capriolo, and today I'm talking to a very special guest all the way across the pond, having a bit of tea and crumpets. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm terrible with accents. It's Braun Edge in Manchester. Welcome, Braun.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I wish I did have some crumpets right now. That would be delicious.
What is a crumpet?
Okay. A crumpet, like, from our perspective, it's like, it's so hard to describe. It's like a really soft, rubbery bread type thing with loads of holes in it that you put in the toaster and then just slather like butter all over it and eat it.
You said rubbery though? It's rubbery bread?
Yeah, it's weirdly rubbery. I don't know how else to describe it. It's not like the sort of crumpet I think I might have had in America, which is basically like a muffin
sort of thing.
Yeah, no, it's basically rubber. But they are delicious.
The
and
delicious
very
rubber. All right. Well, Kyle, you and I will have to go get some crumpets after this. Have a bit of crumpet. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Not at all. Very excited.
Oh, well, I'm very excited to have you here. We were just reminiscing. It's been about 17 years since I've seen you in person.
It has. Right? A long time.
Yes, it's been a long time. But let's back up even further from that. Where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born in Preston, Lancashire.
Okay.
And was raised in Chorley, Lancashire, till I was 16. Then I moved to Wisconsin.
You moved to Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. I lived in Wisconsin. Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I went to high school for 2 years at James Madison Memorial in Madison.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We lived in Fitchburg. I went to school for 2 years and then I moved back to the UK on my own when I was 18. My family stayed in Wisconsin for a little while. My sister for another year. My parents for 15 years. They lived in Wisconsin for 15 years.
Why did they move to Wisconsin in the first place?
My dad's job transferred, basically. He had the option to either get a new job or move to Wisconsin.
Oh my God.
So we all left. We all left for Wisconsin. And
wow.
Yeah.
Kyle and I were just playing the Would You Rather game together, and that sounds like a Would You Rather question. Would you rather move to Wisconsin or find a new job? And your dad chose to move to Wisconsin.
Chose Wisconsin. I'm so glad he did, because I wouldn't have ever known about comedy sports if I hadn't lived in Wisconsin.
So that's how it happened? Tell me about it. How were you introduced to comedy sports then?
Well, when I was at high school, I had a friend who was part of the high school league.
Yeah.
So I used to go and watch him. Then I had some friends who joined Madison Comedy Sports. So I used to go and watch them.
What year are we talking? What year?
We're talking 96, 97 for the school stuff, 98, 99 for Comedy Sports Madison.
Do you know who are the people that played there that you knew?
Gabe Gronley, Neil Paul.
Huh.
Yeah, they were like the last wave just before it kind of disappeared.
Okay.
Gabe now works for Stephen Colbert, I think.
Oh.
He's in New York. He's a writer. It's either Stephen Colbert or something else. Yeah, he's doing really well. Yeah, so I watched it loads.
Okay.
I watched a remote as well in Monona. One of my friends was like, hey, Comedy Sports is on in my town. Let's go and watch it. And it was in a tent next to some cows. It was the most Wisconsin show I think I've ever seen.
Right? I was going to say, there's your Wisconsin for you.
So I'd seen so much. And literally the night before I moved back to the UK, my friend Justin, who lived in Monona, took me to Madison Comedy Sports. We sat and watched a Comedy Sports show. I kept my program. I still have it.
Aww.
And then the next day I moved back to the UK.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
That program was sat in my possession for a couple more years. And I suddenly went, oh, this thing, I still have this program. It had all the games written in it.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was running a youth theatre. And I was like, I need some more stuff to do with my youth theatre. So I dug this program out and tried to remember the games.
Oh my gosh.
Purely by the titles.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't do very well.
Well, you must have just missed me because I performed. I lived in Madison 93 through 98 and I played with the team there.
Wow. Well, there's a chance I might have seen you in 98.
Maybe. Wow. That's crazy.
Was that in the pizza, the back of the pizza place?
One of the many. Yeah, we had so many different locations.
Yeah, there were a few.
Yeah, we were back at the pizza place. We were at Rocky Rococo's. We were in an upstairs, downstairs deli. We had our own space for a while. We were all over Madison.
Yeah, I think I saw it in at least two venues when I went to see it, yeah.
And what drew you to it? What was so exciting for you about comedy sports?
It's just magic. I mean, how else do you describe it? It's how do you do it? Yeah. You know, that was my first thing. I was sat there and I'd always enjoyed, and I'm sure most people have said this as well, like, I've always enjoyed Whose Line Is It Anyway? Obviously that started in the UK.
Yeah.
So that was like my childhood was watching that show. It's always been of interest to me. I never, ever considered doing it, ever. Mm-hmm. Until I started running this youth theatre and I wanted more stuff to do with these kids. So even then, it wasn't even in my like field of vision for me to ever do it. It was more like, oh, I want to give these kids something to do. Yeah, and then, I had this flyer and I would visit my parents every year.
Yeah.
And at this point, this was like the start of 2001. Mm-hmm. I was seeing a guy who lived in Milwaukee.
What?
Because why not? You know, move countries and then get with someone who lives in a different country. Right. Why would you not do that?
Yeah, right.
So I would go visit him and then we'd go and watch Comedy Sports Milwaukee.
Okay.
And it just kind of clicked. I was like, well, we should do one of these shows. This looks really fun. Let's do one show.
Yeah.
And I emailed Dick Chudnow and he was on like dchudnow@aol.com or something. I mean, he might still be. Maybe bleep that out. I don't know what his email address is now. But I emailed him and just was like, we'd really love to do one show.
Yeah.
Is that okay? And he was like, that's great. Do it. I'm going to be in Madison tomorrow visiting someone. Shall we meet up and I'll give you some games and things like that?
Oh my God.
So I literally met him in a Denny's.
Sure.
And we sat there. It was me, him and Jen.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me this like huge folder of stuff and was like, best of luck, send me $25. Like, great, this is going to be so much fun. These kids are going to love it. And that was November 2001. And we did our first show and I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
All our posters were like, Comedy Sports comes to the UK, will it work? That was literally what it said, like, will it work? Because we didn't know. Like,
right.
I'd seen about five or six shows. I'd never done any improv training. Everything I'd done had been like drama stuff that I'd just kind of done over the years. We just didn't know what we were doing, but it was so much fun. Like, I thought the whistle was a prop and then the stopwatch was a prop. Like, I didn't know you had to actually time games. We did a game of four in reverse that was 8 minutes long.
Yeah.
That was like, all this stuff. Anyway, but the first show was so much fun. We were like, we have to do more of these. And that's when we kind of signed on properly and we started doing more regular shows. And over the last 20 years, we've kind of done more and more. So, yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Who did you get to do the show with you? You said you had a boyfriend in Milwaukee. Did he come back to England with you?
Oh, no. Nah. That all fizzled out.
That guy.
But no, my youth theatre kids, basically.
Oh,
I reffed.
Okay.
My then ex-fiancé did sound. And very recent ex-fiancé, so I'm surprised he got involved, but he did sound. And then I had my youth theatre kids on two teams. And, yeah, we auditioned it as well. We auditioned it and everything, like a little show.
Nice.
And from that first ever show, I'm still there. Stephen, who was on sound, is still involved. And Rachel Waring, who was on the red team, I think.
Okay.
And... yeah, so there's three of us still there from that first ever show. The rest of all, like, they were all like 12, 13, 14. They've all grown up and gone off.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, had real lives. we're stuck in the past, obviously.
So you're still doing this in England, in Manchester?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you have your own space? How often are you doing shows? Tell me about it.
Right. Well, we don't have our own space. It's been a bit of a dream, but I don't think it's going to ever really happen for us, unfortunately. I don't think fiscally it would work. Mm-hmm. But we do at least one show a month. We do other improv stuff as well. Yeah, and we're based technically in Manchester, but our show is actually in Sale, okay, which is in Cheshire, which is like one county over. But it's also kind of part of Greater Manchester. Our counties are so messed up. Okay. So I'm still going to always say we're in Manchester, even though I live in Salford, which is the city next door. Our shows are in Sale, which is in another county, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, we're still Manchester. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. All right. So when you got other people to be involved with the group, how did you find other people?
Initially, when we were still based in Chorley, because we were Comedy Sports Chorley till 2006.
Okay.
We were Comedy Sports Chorley. It was more youth theatre kids that just really wanted to get involved. So it was a very young cast for a long time. And then, oh God, it sounds like I'm just boy crazy. I met a guy in Manchester and we got together and he was a comedian and he was like, this should be in Manchester. This is not wasted in Chorley, but you know, this could have a wider audience.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. But anyway, so he got involved and he was great. He was really good in the show. And he kind of helped us move to Manchester, really. Without him, in all seriousness, we probably wouldn't have. Okay. So we moved to Manchester in end of 2006. And I did our first lot of open sort of workshops, mm-hmm, and they were free.
Okay.
We did a whole load of them for free, with the idea that people would come and then we could like pick people out of it to be in the show.
Right.
So that was, end of 2006. And from there, in fact, probably earlier in 2006, we ended up starting to run regular workshops. We've not stopped since then either, that our workshops have been 3 times a year. Since then, we get people to pay for them now.
Okay.
I mean, they're not getting it for free anymore. But yeah, that's been 15 years of teaching every Saturday, pretty much.
Wow. So, and how is Comedy Sports received over there? How do the crowds enjoy it? Is it different than what happens over there?
It's interesting because when we first started, we wanted to make sure it spoke to our audience, as well as having the same vibe as an American show. But obviously our audience are not American.
Right, right.
And neither are we, apart from one of our players now. So I always find whenever we go to America and play over there, it is an interesting change. Mm-hmm. We tend to be quite wordy and chill and kind of relaxed.
Okay.
And then whenever we go to America, it's like we have to hype it up. And so we sometimes get a bit overexcited, I think, in shows, because you can feel the vibes different, whereas a UK audience are a lot more like, yeah, go on, make me laugh. Oh, yeah, that was good. Well done. And
really?
American audiences are just like, woo, yeah, USA, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, you've got to kind of match that energy.
Really? I never thought that the energy was a different level in the two places.
I mean, this is the other thing. Our main show over here, the venue that we perform in, which we've now been in for like 13 years or something regularly, it's a much more family orientated venue.
Okay.
So we get a lot of kids.
Oh, okay.
We would never want to say it's a kids show because it's not, as you know, but it's very much marketed as this can be for anyone, mostly 8 to 10 year olds, apparently.
Okay.
So we get a lot of kids. So it's very sort of silly and mad. It's also really nice when we play in America because it generally isn't a load of kids. So we get to be a little bit more cerebral, I guess.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's interesting. So are there other improv groups in the area that are like almost like your competition, or was this like a brand new concept?
Yeah, it was. It was only us for a long time. And in the last 4 or 5 years, there've been a few troupes. Some of them have come out of groups that have gone through our workshops and kind of gone, well, we want to do our own thing and stuff like that, which is fine. One group has kind of come out of the troop specifically, and some of our troop are in both.
Okay.
And there's another group that I don't really know, like a student group that I'm not really caught up with yet. But it was, I'll be, in all seriousness, it was a hard transition to go from the only game in town mm-hmm. to all of a sudden there's like four other things. Like, oh, okay. That took a little bit of getting used to, but I think, and just personally, you know, not like saying, oh, the troop had to get used to it. Just me, really. But I think it's also really lovely to see like the amount of people that just want to do this and want to do as much of it as possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's really beautiful, to be honest. And I need to shut up and get over myself.
Well, I'm curious about the differences. Like, I know you come to tournament or championship, and I'm just curious about the differences. Like, we play What Are You Doing? You know, do you mm-hmm. change? I mean, I know we both speak English. This is going to be a very dumb American question. But do you play, like, you know, how's it going then? Or like, what's different in the culture that you do differently?
What Are You Doing is the same. We did change some things, like Try That On for Size. Mm-hmm. We call that Top That. Because Try That On for Size is not a phrase over here, really.
Okay.
So Top That means see if you can do better.
Okay.
So we call it Top That. And I know a couple of other teams have taken that on. I think San Antonio call it Top That now as well and stuff. I'm trying to think of other examples. There's a few. There are a few where mm-hmm. we're like, that's too American.
Right.
No one's, we're going to have to explain it if we're going to play it.
Yeah.
So we either adapt it or we don't play it.
Right.
Basically.
So when you come here for championship and you're with people from other cities, what's something you notice right away, other than the energy? I want to hear something else that you're noticing that you're like, whoa, we're definitely in America now with the show.
Well, different cities are different. I've
sure.
been to most of them, to be fair. It's really interesting. Like, you go to Chicago and it's so slick and it's almost like it doesn't feel like improv. Not in a negative way, by right. the way, but it's that like, it's so well-timed and the lights and the everything's like got a place, you know, that sort of slickness versus us kind of just lazing around on stage going, yeah, let's play this game next, whatever. I'm really exaggerating, by the way. We don't do that. Don't let Dick hear me say that we don't care. we do. Yeah, every city is different. I find it fascinating. I know I'm using the word energy again, but the different energy that each mm-hmm. troop has.
Yeah.
I think we're closest to Milwaukee, really, which makes sense because that's
what you
where
said.
I got most of my training from. And
right.
Like, no, we always call Milwaukee our sister city because that's like the closest vibe I think we've got.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, like, I think the other thing, like, Milwaukee is a very sort of boozy sort of town, and Manchester's very similar to that. It's a very, very similar thing going on there.
So who drinks more, Milwaukee or Manchester?
Oh my goodness. I wouldn't want to, let's just say no one should challenge each other see, because the ambulances would
right,
need to
it's
go.
Gonna, it's going to be a dangerous ride on that one, huh? So what games have you brought from Manchester to the States when you come?
Well, the first one, and that, and the one that I see the most in other teams is it's not you, it's me.
Okay.
Which is we call them walk forwards, but I think most people call them jump outs at the end, where it's like you get a suggestion and you break up with something or someone, mm-hmm. depending on the suggestion, and then it's not you, it's me.
Okay.
Punchline.
Okay.
That was Daryl came up with that in like 2005 or something like that. So that's done the rounds a little bit. The game of Dick Van Dyke seemed to get a little popular for a while. I don't
What's
know whether that seems to have fizzled out. Yeah, it's a game where it's an accent-based game. So if you don't know, in the UK, you can travel 2 miles and there's a different accent. It's ridiculous, the
really?
Amount of accents we cram into our country. Yeah, it's ludicrous. So, you know, you can go to Liverpool and everyone talks like that. And then you go to Manchester and everyone talks like that. And that's 20 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that's so different. Then another 80 miles south and you go to Birmingham and everyone talks like that. So it is, honestly, our accents are crazy in the UK. So this game, the idea is we get an accent from the audience, it's head-to-head, and you have to go back and forth in a scene, and then the audience decides if the accent's good enough or not.
Oh, boy.
And then you'll get rotated out and stuff. And it expands to, like, you know, famous celebrity voices and things like that as well.
Okay.
But it's a fun game. It's a fun game. But, yeah, it's... I did see it played in America. In fact, I think I played it in Quad Cities a while back, and they'd already manipulated and Americanized it a bit more.
Sure.
But then they have to explain why it's called Dick Van Dyke. Over here, you say Dick Van Dyke and everyone instantly knows, oh, yeah, bad Cockney accent.
And that's what Poppins, he's known for. Right? And Mary Poppins, yeah.
So that's why it's called that.
That's great. Well, I guess we have a lot of different accents or dialects here in the States too, you mm-hmm. know, Southern New York and, you know, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest.
Yep.
I guess we have them, but yeah, you for the amount of space you're in, that's amazing to have
yeah.
so many.
It is, honestly. And even like Scotland, there's about 6 or 7 different Scottish accents as well,
wow.
dependent on where you are in Scotland. It honestly, it's like people didn't want to leave their towns or something and just slowly grew these words.
These words.
It is very strange.
Why did you choose, this is backing up a bit, why did you choose after high school to move back and your parents stayed? Why did you choose that?
That's a good question. I moved when I was 16 and instantly went, I don't want to be here.
That's a hard time to move in life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. So I don't want to be here. Yeah. This is not what I know. I'm going to move back when I'm 18. I'm going to go to university in the UK. So plans were set in motion at that point.
Yeah.
So I had to get certain qualifications and things like that in order to be able to move back
okay.
and go into our system.
Oh, okay.
So by the time I was about 17 and really loving it and doing school radio and doing all this, I was doing touring children's theatre at that point
wow.
as well in Madison. And I was like, this is amazing. Why would I want to leave this? Oh, I have to.
Because
a year ago I said I was going to.
Oh, no.
So now I've got to go. So in all seriousness, if I still had the choice, I probably would have stayed.
Really?
Yeah, I probably would have. But it didn't feel like a choice anymore when I was 18. It's
okay.
like, I got to go back now and do university. So,
well, that is a tough yeah. age to move. What was the most surprising thing you experienced when you came here?
So here's the question that everyone in England always asks me about American high school.
Yeah.
They say, is it like the films? Is it like the movies?
Uh-huh.
And I say, it is exactly like the films because it is exactly like the films.
Yeah.
It's all this stuff that we must have it in the UK, but I don't know. I didn't. This wasn't my high school experience. There weren't all these cliques and
okay.
things that you were supposed to do if you were a certain sort of person and things like that. It wasn't really a thing over here. And when I moved to America and went to high school and was like, I can see this. Maybe people here can't see it, but I'm taking a step back as a foreigner.
Right.
And going, oh, I see who you are and who you are. And it was a very strange experience. It took me a long time to kind of find where I basically spent a year in the library reading books because I was like, I don't know anyone.
Oh,
and
no.
no one's really accepting me into their friendship group. So, I'll be the loner who sits and reads Star Trek books in the library at lunchtime.
What about the food in America?
The food?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm vegan now.
Okay.
At the time I was vegetarian. I've been vegetarian since I was 13. I lost so much weight. I must be the only person who's moved to America and lost weight because I couldn't eat anything.
Yeah.
I lived off macaroni and cheese. For like 2 years.
Oh no.
I'm a picky eater anyway, mm-hmm. and there was very limited vegetarian food in the mid-90s
yeah,
in America.
For sure. Oh wow.
It's lucky that I still ate cheese because as you will know, living in Wisconsin,
that
there's a lot of it.
A lot of cheese and a lot of beer.
See, that's the other thing. I don't drink either, so.
I don't either.
Wisconsin's wasted on me.
Yes, exactly. I've never been a drinker, and I went to school in Madison, which is like number one in the country for drinking schools. And I don't drink. And everyone's like, why'd you go there? And I still had fun, but I've just never been a drinker. So.
Yeah.
Wow. So when you come here for tournament, you still come like every year. I mean, COVID aside, yeah. Right? You still come
every
year.
I've not missed, until the last 2 years that has, and I've been at the online ones. So yeah. Technically I've not missed one since 2003.
Oh, wow. Now what's your favorite part of tournament then that you bring back?
My favorite part is just seeing everyone. Yeah. Like seeing everyone I know who I get to see once a year and hang out with and meeting new people who I will then get to see again the following year. It's people. I love bringing back new games. That's really fun. One or two might make it into a show.
Okay.
But generally, it's bringing back that positivity and the reminder of why we do this mm-hmm. and what it means to people, not just the players, but the audience as well. And
sure.
I'd love bringing back that vibe. And you know, we have players who've never been to championship and probably never will, you know, right. It's quite expensive.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, to go to America for a little while and, you know, trying to bring that vibe back to them as well. And mm-hmm. being like, even though you didn't go, everyone loves you. You have no idea. Everyone loves you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and to come to the States when a lot of our cities have their own theater. Right. So to see that and experience that we have our own spaces in some of our cities. And you said you've been working kind of at one space, but you don't really have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've moved around so much. A lot of years, it feels like we start again every year, in all honesty. And it's quite exhausting. I think if we had our own space, there'd be maybe less of that. But mm-hmm. we can't afford it. Like yeah. there's not enough interest in improv or comedy shows that aren't stand-up, really.
Okay.
That's what we've battled with for 20
really?
Years.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
People still don't really know what improv is. I mean, when we started Comedy Sports 2001, there was us. This is the whole country, by the way. There was us in Chorley. There was a group in Lancaster doing theatre sports, I think. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of groups in London. It was still going. And there was a group in Newcastle and I think a group in Edinburgh. And that was about it in the whole country. And I may have missed one or two just from not knowing, but sure. Generally we were kind of connected in some way because there were so few of us.
Okay.
And now there's so many more. Like you'll go to another city and there's an improv troupe and it's still growing now. It's much better known. But Manchester generally want to go out and get drunk at a weekend. They don't necessarily want to go and watch an improv show.
Not together, not watch and get drunk.
We don't want them to do that. Well, again, I think this is why it's evolved for us, our main show, into a much more family orientated show. Like yeah. It's earlier, it's like a 6:30 show. It's okay. Earlier. We keep it really cheap, like, so that families can come in. And I think that's worked pretty well for us because they're the people who want to go out and watch a show.
Right.
And not, you know, I don't want to say this about everyone in Manchester. There's definitely people who do want to go watch some improv.
Sure.
An improv musical 3 weeks ago and it was full. And that was our first show.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, it's finding people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a hard sell.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're still doing it.
So you do the comedy sports show, like with that format, but you just said like a musical improv show. Are you doing other formats and other kind of shows there?
Yeah, we do comedy sports. Mm-hmm. We do a show called Improv Mullet, which is, you'll love this, short form in the front, long form in the back.
Nice.
So that's been hit or miss. Like it's sometimes it's busy, sometimes it's not.
Okay.
Just don't know. We do the improvised musical, which is new.
Okay.
Which is just a two halves, two different musicals.
Okay.
We do a improvised pantomime.
Oh my
which
God.
Is I don't so pantomime hasn't really made it to the States. It's a kids Oh, it's so hard to describe as well. It's a kid's show that's derived from Shakespearean times. It's got its own code of things you have to say, like when the bad guy arrives on stage, everyone has to boo. When someone's in the back, everyone has to shout, he's behind you. It's like a code that is passed down from generation to generation for this show.
Oh, wow.
And it's always based around like fairy tales and things like that. So we do an improvised one of those over Christmas. We do an adult version as well. And the audience gets to decide like where it's set and who the characters are and things like that.
Well, you said pantomime and I thought you meant like mime.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
That's not what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's this was another thing when I moved to America. There's so many words that we share that do not mean the same thing. Pantomime is one of them.
Okay.
No, it's a whole genre of performance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's hard to describe because you don't have it. And
right.
It's absolutely brought up on this. It's every Christmas, every family will go and watch a pantomime and shout the same things that have been shouted for hundreds of years.
Oh my gosh, I want to do this show.
They're so fun. Like
it
me and my partner, Sean, we also, we film shows. That's okay. One of our many strings to our bows. And every Christmas we end up going and filming loads of different pantomimes and get to watch these different pantomimes, but they're all the same basically.
I love it. That sounds, what are some other words that we have but are totally different meanings? I'm so intrigued by the differences.
So when I did art when I was at school. I didn't do drama or anything like that. I never did drama till I did my degree. I avoided it for the most part. So I did art. I did a lot of art. And when I was in America, I did all the art classes I could do. And I remember going into one, I was drawing something with a pencil. I was like, oh God, I need to rub that out. And I just leant over to someone and said, can I have a rubber? And they looked at me like,
no.
What? Have you got a rubber? I need a rubber. And I don't have that. I don't have a rubber. Oh, okay. And then I went, oh, an eraser. I need an eraser. I don't need the first thing I said. Because we call them rubbers. So.
Oh, that's great. My best friend I've known since we were three. She moved from Milwaukee to a small town in Minnesota called Stillwater, Minnesota, only about 5 hours away. But she said one of her first days in school, I think it was eighth grade, the teacher yelled, hey, stop throwing binders. And for us here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, binders are like three-ring binders, like huge,
yeah,
hard folders with, rings to hold paper.
Yeah.
And if you're envisioning
Same.
Someone throwing them, like that could hurt your head, right? So she kind of ducked. And she realized they meant rubber bands. That's what they called binders just 5 hours away in Minnesota. And she was like, what the
hell? Isn't that interesting?
Yes, so that's just 5 hours away. So I can't
yes.
imagine the differences between rubbers and erasers.
Well, there's a whole thing in the UK, I don't know if you know about this,
no.
where dependent on where you live is what you call a specific piece of bread.
Okay.
So imagine... See, I can't even describe it because it has so many names. A bread roll, like a circular, a bread roll. Like
yeah,
you cut it and put butter. Yeah, a roll. Okay, right.
Yeah.
So in Lancashire, which is where I'm from, you would call that either a balm cake or a bap.
A balm cake or a bap?
A balm cake or a bap. Yeah. If you're in Yorkshire, I think it's called a bread roll. If you're down south, it's got like so many different names. And even I use two different names for it. And I mean the same thing.
Oh my God.
Bread cake is another one. Like, that sounds awful. But yeah, literally, like there's arguments. If anyone, even like, because I teach at a university, and if I ever mention like a bread roll or a balm cake or a bap or anything, arguments start instantly. It's like, don't get into this. People are just like, no, it's called this.
It's called this. Well, I guess we have that here with soda
and pop.
Yeah. Like
yeah,
here's or
yeah.
bubbler and drinking fountain. You know, there are different things like that. My husband.
Bubbler is such a Wisconsin thing,
it is.
Though.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
My husband, I think you know him, Dave Nelson, Milwaukee
yes,
Comedy Sports, is he's a word guy. And I'm an artist. I'm an art teacher. So us trying to have a conversation is insane. Like, I can never find the right words. And he's always like, I don't know what you're saying. And he's just this word man. But he'll read books about the different dialects in the states and, you know, that show maps of, like, Bubbler, for example, is like on the map. It's, you know, very red in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And also, like, one little blip in, I think, New Jersey or something maybe says Bubbler. Like, no one else in the world says Bubbler for a water fountain. So he's really, he's always sharing those different things with me. That's why I'm so interested in hearing the differences.
Well, because I learned that at school. Like, people were calling it a Bubbler, and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I called it that, but I guess that's what it's called here. So I learned that. I'm trying to think of other Wisconsin-based words that I learned. Like, specifically Wisconsin.
Right.
I did learn how to padiddle.
How to padiddle?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the actual... If you go over... Oh, what is it? I can't... This is nearly 30 years ago at this point, so I'm trying to remember. When you go over a train track in your car...
Oh, yeah.
You have to touch a screw.
You touch the top of the car.
Take your feet off the ground or something. And then I think you're supposed to say padiddle.
Oh,
I'm
my
sure
gosh.
There's something weird like that. I don't know. I mean,
people are strange. People are strange, aren't we? I love it. I love it. Oh my gosh. I love it. I could talk about those crazy little idiosyncrasies all day from different places.
Just to bring that relevant back to sort of comedy sports, I did a show in Chicago a few years ago now. And I did, we were doing like 185 or something. And my gag was the phrase, popped your clogs. And literally, yeah, right? Which means died. And it was something to do with shoe wear or something, the suggestion. And I was like, this is hilarious. Yeah, popped your clogs. And then silence, absolute silence. And then one person in the audience just went, boo. Wasn't a phrase here. Just give me a break.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, coming back to comedy sports, that must be so hard. I mean, to learn the games here in Wisconsin and then bring them across the world, you know, over the ocean to you, and then with people's just different understanding of just the language. That's gotta be such an interesting... I mean, like, you say a joke here you think is funny and no one knows what the hell you're talking about.
What's great is when we get American visitors, because I lived over there and one of our players is American who plays a lot of our shows.
Okay.
Whenever we do games like that and they walk forward and they do something and they get silence, we go, here's the translation. But the other way around doesn't tend to happen because we don't have a lot of people in the comedy sports worldwide who are from the UK except us and Julie Nye from Maine.
Right.
Yeah, there's us and her. So
I like that.
It's not quite reciprocated.
That's good.
Yeah, we just get booed, apparently.
That's so terrible.
I'm not gonna lie, that was I've only ever been booed twice in a comedy sports show. Once was in Chorley because it was the first show I ever did and I was not very good because I reffed for 2.5 years before I ever played in a show.
Yeah
And it wasn't very good, but it hurt a little bit. And then when I went to Chicago, I'm like, I've come all this way
you're booing
I've done this
me.
Amazing joke and you've upset me.
You people don't know humor. Oh, my gosh. Well, what is your favorite game to play in a show?
Oh, wow. It changes constantly. At the moment, I'm really into singing stuff.
Oh, okay.
We've never been able to really do much music. We've not had a musician. And in the last 2 years, we've acquired one.
Okay.
Who's really, really key. He's called Felix, and he's fantastic. So keen, so excited about it, and loads of excellent suggestions. So, yeah, I really enjoy it. Have you ever played Reunion?
No.
I definitely learned it at a championship,
okay.
Which is basically you're a band that's got back together, and this is your reunion gig.
Nice.
And so you call out to the audience like, oh, you know, we better do our number one hit, which was, and then someone just shouts out a title and it's like, right, here it is. And you're just a band. You're just being a band. And you've got a backstory of why you split up. So you get to see that in as well and like have all this bitter chat between each other and stuff. So
it's great.
That's probably one of my favorite games at the moment. But it changes so much. Forward Reverse is my favorite game for a long time.
Oh, that's always been my favorite. And I don't know if it's because that was like the very first scene game you learn, right? I mean, you do exercises and you learn, you know, just some improv exercises, zip, zap, zap, kind of stuff like that. But then the first scene I remember learning, the scene game was Forward Reverse. And when that game is played well, it's amazing.
I love it. Oh, my favorite, one of a memory from... Well, it must be like 2003, 2004. So quite early on,
we did
Forward Reverse, and one of our players, Steve Martin, he doesn't play with us anymore, but he, the scene started and about three lines in, he suddenly just threw himself to the floor from off stage, got up, dusted himself off and left. And we were like, okay, reverse. And we just kind of kept going. And then we reversed before the scene started, and it turned out he was in an aeroplane.
Oh, that's awesome.
And like jumped out, and then later on in the scene he just splatted and walked off. Just beautiful little moments like that where you're like, I wish I could do that in every show, but obviously you can't do that again. But...
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. So you said you're starting to do singing, some musical games there. Do you like guessing games?
Yes, we try and play at least one a show. Now, here's one of our things. We don't do five things.
Okay.
And I think we're only like one of two troops that don't play that game. We play three things. Mm-hmm. And we have played five things, but we'll play it in the States. Like, we know the game and we'll play the game. But we've just found it kind of hard. I think it's because our audience is so young. Keep an audience interested for that length of time, because it's quite a long game.
It is.
So we tend to play the three things version if we play it. But we love guessing games. We our favorite one at the moment is probably Uber Driver.
Uber Driver, what's that?
Yeah, which is, we actually invented it because we were doing a lot of two versus two games. So initially it was set up that you had the Uber driver and the person in the back, and you have to guess what their normal job is, apart from being an Uber driver, what their pet peeve is, because taxi drivers always seem to hate things, and also who was the famous person they just had in the back of their cab. And so they have to figure that out as they go. So that's been quite fun.
That sounds fun. So a fun guessing game, kind of giving clues as you go.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. That's been a fun Zoom, like, because we've done so much stuff on Zoom over the last couple of years now. That's a fun Zoom game.
Yeah.
To play that. Yeah. We've done the most matches we've ever done.
Yeah.
Because we started out doing four a week.
Okay.
Because so many people were trapped at home.
Right.
So we were getting quite a lot of people watching just purely out of, oh, this is something to do.
Right. Right.
And also keeping us sane as well, you know, figuring out the technology was really fun, and manipulating Zoom and what can we do that we'll only ever be able to play on Zoom, things like that, was really fun.
Right.
And we're still doing one online show a month.
Okay.
We'll probably continue to do, for two reasons. One, a kind of selfish reason, that we have a player who moved to Germany.
Oh.
Not like a year before the pandemic, which meant he could start playing with us again.
Oh, sure.
So he's come back to the troop, even though he lives in Germany.
Okay.
And the other reason, because it is accessible as well. You know, there's a lot of people who can't get to our shows for various reasons.
Right,
And that's something we noticed once things started opening up again. A lot of people who have accessibility issues are like, where's all the stuff gone? Like, we had all this stuff and it's gone. So we're like, well, we're going to keep doing that. We make no money from that show, but we don't need to. It's like,
it's just fun.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun for us and for the audience. We've got like a little community in our YouTube chat now who look forward to seeing each other in the chat. It's so interesting how that's evolved. This little group of people who only know each other through YouTube chat, but know each other because they've spent a year and a half chatting to each other.
Right. That's good. See, I'm trying to look at the positive of some good things that came out of the pandemic. And that's a really good positive to remember.
Mm. Yeah, I think that. I think anything, I mean, I love tech anyway, so anything I get to play with tech, that's been really fun. And again, Felix, who I was mentioning earlier, is really into his tech, so we really manipulated Zoom as much as we can. It's been quite fun.
Oh, that's great. So tell me how you got your nickname, Living on the, because you're Bron, Living on the Edge. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We don't really use our nicknames, but they are on the website. Mm-hmm. So when we put together the website, we're like, oh, everyone in America's got these nicknames. We should probably have one. so I think it was just from the song.
Sure.
What is it? Is it Aerosmith? It's Aerosmith, isn't it?
Yeah. That's
yeah. Anyway, it's literally just that. To be honest, I make up most of them, and I've accidentally called three people captain over the last 20 years because we had a guy called Tom Kirk, so he was Tom Captain Kirk.
Okay.
Then we had Lucas Kirkby, who became Lucas Captain Kirkby. And now we've got Felix Janeway, who's become Felix Captain Janeway.
Everybody's just captain over there.
Yeah, I need to widen my pop culture knowledge, I think. Get away from just Star Trek.
Well, we're going to play just a couple quick games before we go here.
Yay.
You can see, my listeners can't, but I have a bunch of little papers here with different comedy sports games. I'm just going to pull two games. We'll see if you play them there. And if you do, tell me which one you'd rather play in a show.
Okay.
So we've got 185
mm-hmm.
and Dime Store Novel. Do you play both of those?
Dime Store Novel, we used to play loads. Okay. I'll just tell you this really quick story. So
yeah,
this huge folder that Dig Chudnow gave us had all the games, had all these games in, but the descriptions we couldn't really understand a lot of them. So there was a game in there called Take My Pants.
Take My Pants?
And then the description was, seriously, Take My Pants.
That sounds like a game Dick plays on the weekend.
We can't play that one. And then obviously things like oxygen deprivation.
Oh, sure.
And we were in, like, we read this going, oh, they play all these games. Like, you need to learn all these games. So hard. We played so many of them wrong. Dime Store Novel is one of them that we kind of half realized how to play, mm-hmm. played it for about 2 years, and then never played it since.
Never played it again.
Dime stores aren't a thing. What's a dime? You don't have dimes.
Yeah, what do you have?
We don't have dime stores. I don't know. Pound shops.
Pound shops.
But yeah, so 185, I'm always up for 185. We play that a lot. It's a good, fun game.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions you tend to get over and over and over again from your audiences?
Cheese.
Cheese?
Yeah, all the time. Cheese. Yeah. We had a show once where the audience decided they were only going to say cheese and pizza for the whole show. They would not say anything other than cheese and pizza. And I'm like, well, they're almost the same thing. Like, please give us something else. Cheese. Like, okay, I guess we'll do another scene about cheese.
Another scene about cheese.
They weren't even being malicious. They just thought it was really funny. But it was just
well,
like,
that's
yeah,
interesting.
Cheese.
See, you Brits have an obsession with cheese.
I've got the shirt from Houston, which on the back has the three retired suggestions, which are Jell-O, Elvis, and Tutu.
Oh,
I don't think we've ever had, definitely never had Jell-O as a suggestion because that's not a thing.
I was going to say, is that a thing over there? Do you
no,
have Jell-O?
It's jelly is what it is. But we have had jelly, but not very often. We very rarely got Elvis, and I think we might have had Tutu once. So it is dependent on where you are, I think. But
I think
cheese,
so.
It's always cheese. Always cheese.
Cheese is universal. Well, what about
people just need it.
In like sideline debate, do you get, you know, when you're looking for long adjectives or long nouns mm-hmm. or verbs, do you have, we get supercalifragilisticexpialidocious a lot. Do you get that?
Yeah, we do. We tend to say that as an example, so we don't get it.
Okay, sure.
Hippopotamus, we get hippopotamus a lot.
Okay.
Tyrannosaurus rex, that's another one.
I love it.
Yeah, they're the main, we just, animals seem to be a really big suggestion point for us. Again, this musical show we did the other week, in fact, we did another half, like one on Monday, mm-hmm. all three titles had animals in them. And we had to have a meeting, I was like, how do we get the audience to stop just making us be animals in these things.
Animals,
like, why
and
are people
cheese.
Obsessed?
Animals and cheese. It's crazy over there. All right, last game. I have some would you rather question cards here.
Oh.
I'm going to give you a couple and get to know you a little bit here. These are, oh my, here we go. Would you rather lick all the dead bugs off the front of a car windshield, or would you rather have to wash your face every day in a heavily populated bird bath?
Again, I'm going to call the culture card, because we don't have as many bugs as you do.
Oh, lucky you.
America. Yeah, so it wouldn't probably be too bad a thing over here. But I think I'd go for the bird bath. Birds are cute. They don't tend to poo where they drink. So, I mean, they're stupid birds if they do that. So I'd go with the bird bath face washing.
All right. All right, I have one more, and this might really get wacky because I don't know if you have these foods there in this one question.
Okay.
Would you rather have fish for hands, okay, fish for hands, or... Mm-hmm. Eat a zucchini split with ketchup instead of hot fudge.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Firstly, you're talking to a vegan. So fish for hands would probably make me very sad. However, zucchini is courgette over here. That's what we call it, a courgette.
Okay.
And I hate courgette. I hate it so much. It's always in vegan food and I have to pick it out. So I'd probably have to have fish for hands
fish
and then
hands.
Just make sure I keep them really happy and safe.
And hydrated. And just keep your hands.
Yeah, and sit them in water. Just let them flap about. I'll make some like mittens that just are waterproof inside and
yes.
they can just sit.
Oh, and... see? They'd be lucky fish to have you. Bron, thank you so much for doing this. This was lovely for you to have some time.
Absolutely enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yes, this was fantastic. And next time you're here, we'll have to perform together again. It's been about, what, 17 years, you said?
At least. We may have done a show like when I visited, but I can't remember.
Oh, my gosh.
They all kind of merge into one at that point. But 2004 at the championship,
that's right, we definitely did that show in Milwaukee.
I
have pictures from it. Kyle will have to put some of those pictures up on Instagram when we release this episode.
I have a video from it if you ever want to see it.
Oh, I do. You should post that on Facebook.
I will send it you after this.
You should.
It's a fun watch. It's a really fun watch. Because it was shot with like six cameras or something. It was shot for the local channel or something. So it's well shot.
Oh.
And the sound's good as well.
Oh, yeah, send it my way.
I will.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bron.
Thank you. Lovely to see you.
You as well. The Comedy Sports Podcast is produced and engineered by Kyle Hannikin. Our announcer is PJ Rockwell. Check us out on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Comments and questions can be sent to thecomedysportspodcast@gmail.com. Created and hosted by me, Christine Rolo Capriolo. Check you later.
The Comedy Sports Podcast is an independent production made by CSC Players. The views and opinions expressed by the podcast host and any guests are their own and do not represent the views and opinions of any CSE location or CSE worldwide. Vocabulary used by the host and guests is not necessarily representative of the CSE brand.